Welcome to A Contra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. And now, as promised, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we are wrestling with a true heavyweight of 20th century literature, Boris Pasternak's monumental, heartbreaking and politically explosive work, Dr. Zhivago.
It really is an incredible book.
A story of art, history, and a love that somehow survived the unthinkable.
Definitely. And, you know, to really get Zhivago, you have to understand Pasternak himself, born in 1890, right?
Right.
So he lived through, well, everything from Imperial Russia, the whole transition right into the Soviet era. But he was first and foremost a poet, a brilliant lyrical poet.
And that poetic sensibility, that focus on the individual, seems key.
Absolutely. What makes him stand out, I think, is his insistence on placing that intimate personal experience, you know, love, poetry, nature, placing it above the demands of political ideology.
So the individual soul is the real focus, not the state.
Exactly. For him, that was the true battleground.
And that stance, well, it made his life incredibly difficult. And the book's journey, too.
Oh, completely treacherous.
And this is where the story behind the story gets really interesting, isn't it? The publication history itself is like a thriller novel.
It really is. So he finishes the manuscript in 1955. Takes it to the Soviet publishers.
And they just slammed the door.
Instantly rejected it. Not because it was, you know, badly written, Pasternak was a master craftsman, but because it failed the political test.
The socialist realism test.
Precisely. It didn't serve the state's goals. Pasternak's quiet focus on inner life, on the suffering the revolution caused, that was seen as implicitly critical. Dangerous, even.
Wow. So that rejection, ironically, is what probably made it a global phenomenon.
Without a doubt. It had to be smuggled out. Published in Italy first, 1957.
And then came the Nobel Prize in 1958, the bombshell.
Huge news.
Okay.
But the Soviets saw it as like a political attack from the West, an attempt to embarrass the regime.
So they pressured Pasternak.
Intense pressure, crushing. He was ultimately forced to decline the honor.
That's tragic.
It really is. And that moment cemented Dr. Zhivago as one of the most famous examples of samizdat. You know, banned literature.
Banned in his own country until 1987, wasn't it?
That's right. But circulated secretly for decades before that. Incredible.
So the Soviets banned it because of its core premise. Yeah. What was so revolutionary about this story of love and loss?
Well, at its heart, it's this sweeping epic chronicle. It covers, what, the early 1900s right through the 1940s.
Yeah, a huge span of time.
But Pasternak delivers it as a deeply human story set against this massive historical backdrop. It's not a political tract.
Okay.
The real tension, the core conflict is between individual destiny, what Yuri Zhivago wants, feels, needs, and these huge impersonal historical forces sweeping over Russia.
Forces that just don't care about the individual.
Not at all. Zhivago's life becomes a kind of microcosm of Russia's incredibly traumatic transformation during that period.
And our protagonist, Yuri Andreevich Zhivago.
Yeah.
He's a doctor, but also a poet.
Yes. And that's crucial. He's the sensitive intellectual, the artist, caught right in the gears of history.
His life seems defined by this central dilemma, the one driving the plot. He's torn, isn't he? Between his wife, Tanya.
His devoted conventional wife, Tonya Gromyko, represents the old world. Stability.
And then his overwhelming passion for Lara Antipova.
Yes, Lara. A completely different kind of connection. Spiritual, intense.
So the big question Pasternak seems to be asking is, when history is just this runaway train, can any individual actually control their own life, their love, their happiness?
That's it, exactly. Can authentic human connection survive that kind of chaos? Does destiny even mean anything anymore?
It feels like Pasternak is suggesting it becomes obsolete.
I think so. And he sets up this vulnerability right from the start, even before the revolution fully hits. We see Yuri, orphaned, but raised in this cultured, intellectual Gromyko family.
A privileged start, in a way.
Privileged, yes, but maybe a bit detached, too. And then contrasted with Lara.
Larisa Fedorovna Gishar. Her adolescence is so different.
Utterly different, vulnerable, already entangled with Viktor Komarovsky.
Ah, Komarovsky, the older predatory figure.
Right. Using his power, his influence over her, it's disturbing. And Pasternak uses this contrast, I think, to show that the seeds of loss, of exploitation, were already there in pre-revolutionary Russia.
It wasn't some perfect world that the revolution shattered.
No, not at all. Lara's vulnerability kind of foreshadows the vulnerability of society itself when things start to fall apart.
Let's dig into these characters a bit more, because their journeys really carry the weight of the themes, don't they?
Yeah.
Zhivago's arc, it's just heartbreaking.
It really is. He starts with this youthful idealism. He actually supports the revolution initially, hopes it will bring renewal.
But that doesn't last.
No. He sees the violence, the reality of it, and it turns to horror. Profound disillusionment sets in.
His tragedy seems to be this inability to reconcile his inner world, his poetry, his love, his need to heal, with the brutal demands of the new political reality.
Yes, that's precisely it. His whole being kind of rebels against a world where individuality, where beauty, is suddenly suspect. A bourgeois luxury.
And then there's Laura. She's such a compelling character. So strength, but also vulnerability.
Incredible resilience, especially given her early trauma with Komarovsky.
Now, their relationship, Zhivago and Laura,
yeah,
it's obviously central. But is Pasternak romanticizing infidelity here? Or is it something else?
That's a really important question. I don't think it's simple romanticization. It's presented as something deeper.
How so?
Well, Tanya represents duty, loyalty, the structure of the past, Laura. Their connection is shown as this profound spiritual and intellectual bond. It cuts through the chaos.
Like a sanctuary.
Exactly. A temporary sanctuary where they can be genuinely themselves. It's presented as authenticity finding itself, even if it breaks conventions.
And poor Tanya. She represents so much that's lost.
She really does. She embodies that cultured world, the traditions that the revolution just swept away. She tries to maintain dignity while losing everything.
Her immigration to Paris later on feels symbolic.
Absolutely. It symbolizes the displacement of that whole class, the severing of cultural roots. She literally takes the past with her into exile.
Then we have the flip side of idealism. Pavel Antipov.
Ah, yes. Who becomes Strelnikov, the shooter.
His transformation is terrifying. From an idealistic teacher wanting liberation.
To this ruthless Bolshevik commander, utterly dedicated, brutally efficient, enforcing the revolution's will.
He seems like the polar opposite of Zhivago.
In many ways, yes. Zhivago is consumed by the inner life, art. Strelnikov gives himself completely to external action, to ideology.
His journey shows the psychological cost of fanaticism.
Definitely. The tragic irony, isn't it? Sacrificing your own humanity, your individuality, in the name of liberating humanity. He turns the dream into a nightmare.
And lurking throughout is Komarovsky.
The ever-present shadow. Viktor Komarovsky. He's fascinating because he represents a type of corrupt power that just adapts.
Survives any system?
Exactly. Tsarist Russia, the Bolsheviks, it doesn't matter. He finds a way to exploit the situation, leverage weakness, gain advantage. He's like a parasite thriving on instability.
Okay, let's track how these lives are buffeted by the actual historical events. History doesn't wait for anyone here. Zhivago's relatively sheltered start runs right into the 1905 revolution.
Right, the first major upheaval. Zhivago was starting to write poetry, find his voice. Lara's already caught up in the social turmoil. But the real shatter point is World War I.
That brings huge disruption.
Massive. And it pulls Zhivago in directly. He serves as a military doctor on the front lines.
And that's where he first encounters Lara again.
Yes, she's working as a nurse. And seeing that industrialized warfare, the sheer scale of death up close,
yeah,
that's where his disillusionment really takes root.
Then comes 1917, the revolutions, February and October, the absolute turning point.
The center of the storm. The old world is just gone overnight. The family loses everything, privilege, property, their sense of place.
Which forces that move to Varikino, the estate in the countryside.
A harrowing journey in itself. And then the Civil War follows. Brutal, intense.
And Zhivago gets caught up in that too.
He gets conscripted by partisan forces, forced to be their doctor, separated from his family again. He witnesses the raw violence of revolution, how extremism just tears relationships apart.
But he eventually escapes and gets back to Varikino, right?
Yeah.
And that period seems crucial.
Oh, Varikino is the emotional heart of the novel, I think. It's this temporary haven, an idol almost.
A space for love, for art amidst the chaos.
Yes. That's where he and Lara have their time together. It's where he writes much of his defining poetry, trying to process everything, to turn that brutal experience into something lasting, something beautiful.
The high point of his personal life, perhaps.
Definitely. A synthesis of love, art, nature, but it can't last.
The outside world intrudes.
Inevitably. The historical forces are just too strong. He's forced to flee Varikino eventually, and the rest of the novel traces his decline.
His return to Moscow. It's bleak, isn't it?
Incredibly bleak. Starvation, bureaucracy. He's spiritually exhausted, physically declining. He tries to maintain his integrity, his medical ethics, his art.
But Soviet society has no place for him.
Not for the sensitive poet, the humanitarian doctor. It demands conformity. And then that final heartbreaking separation from Lara.
Facilitated by Komarovsky again, ironically.
It just underscores the impossibility of finding personal happiness, lasting connection in that environment.
And ending itself. Zhivago's death. It's so mundane.
A heart attack on a crowded Moscow tram after surviving war, revolution, starvation. He's just crushed by the anonymous weight of ordinary Soviet life.
It's the ultimate anticlimax. The sensitive individual just overwhelmed by the sheer impersonal force of the system.
Pasternak denies him that heroic ending, doesn't he?
He does. But then there's the epilogue, set years later during World War II.
Right. And it offers this qualified hope. Zhivago's friends discover his hidden poems. They preserve them.
So the art survives.
The art survives. The words outlast the man, the tram, the war, even the regime in a way. Art becomes the lasting testament to that individual spirit, to human dignity.
Which brings us neatly to the key themes. First, clearly, is the role of art and meaning in all that chaos.
Yes. Art as both a sanctuary, a place to retreat, but also a form of resistance.
There's that quote you mentioned earlier, art always serves beauty.
And beauty is the joy of possessing form. It's crucial. In a revolution that wants to control all truth, all meaning, art insists on its own forms, its own beauty. Zhivago's poems are basically an assertion that the inner life matters more than politics.
And the second major theme has to be the corruption of idealism.
Absolutely. We see it so clearly. How noble revolutionary ideals get twisted, consumed by violence and the hunger for power.
Strelnikov is the prime example.
The tragic example. Utopian dreams, once they take up arms, seem destined to destroy the very human values they claim to champion.
Which connects to the theme of survival and moral compromise.
Constantly. Every character faces these impossible choices. Surviving often means compromising, shedding parts of yourself, or, like Zhivago, trying to hold on to integrity and paying the ultimate price for it.
And Pasternak's own background as a poet just shines through in the writing style.
Completely. The prose is so lyrical, dense with symbolism. The recurring image of the journey, literal displacement, but also spiritual searching. And of course, nature.
Nature seems incredibly important.
More than just scenery, Pasternak seems to view nature as, well, maybe the only thing the revolution couldn't fully control or corrupt.
They can't collectivize a snowstorm.
Exactly. Or nationalize a forest in the same way. Nature remains this source of authentic truth, of spiritual renewal for Zhivago. It offers perspective beyond the political madness.
I think one of the most powerful messages, something that really resonates beyond the Soviet context, is that quote you highlighted for our listeners to think about.
Your health is bound to be affected if, day after day, you say the opposite of what you feel.
It's such a profound insight into authenticity, mental well-being, the cost of conformity.
Pasternak really drives home that personal integrity isn't just some abstract moral virtue. It's essential for psychological survival. Suppressing your inner truth corrodes you.
And maybe that refusal to simplify things, that insistence on humanistic values, even when history is relentlessly brutal, is why Dr. Zhivago still feels so vital today.
I agree. It doesn't offer easy answers, but it honors the complexity of life and the resilience of the human spirit, even in defeat.
If we take that final thought from Pasternak, that saying the opposite of what you feel damages you, perhaps it forces us to ask ourselves, are we still paying that price in our own ways today?
A challenging thought to end on.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.